News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage
in association with AIR.
Infrastructure Minister Jack Chambers is set to provide an update on the government's accelerating infrastructure report later this morning at an engineering conference. Among the speakers at the event is Sean O'Driscoll, chair of the ASRI and a leading member of the government's accelerating infrastructure task force. And Sean joins me now. Sean, you're very welcome to News Talk Breakfast. So we spoke on the hard shoulder in December when this report was first published, and you were clear with me then that this wasn't a list of recommendations for the government. There were actions here, there were timelines, and you were going to be monitoring that along with the rest of the task force closely. How are we doing?
Good morning, Ciara. Well, I'm glad to say, Ciara, that this is a case study on action speaking louder than words. So to remind your listeners, there were 30 principal actions in the action plan, which broke down into 138 sub-actions, each of them timelined to a quarter end, with the relevant minister and secretary general named as being responsible for the delivery and implementation of those sub-actions. 46 of those were to be completed by quarter one of 2026, and 45 of those were completed by the 31st of March. And the remaining one was completed on Tuesday of this week, and that was the one relating to the capping of legal fees for judicial reviews. So I'm happy to say all 46 of what was to be done in the first quarter have been done, some of them very significant, including the Critical Infrastructure Bill, which was published in March, finished the first journey through the Dáil last night, going to the Shannon next week, back to the Dáil in June, hopefully to be enacted into law. And there are 39 actions to be completed in this quarter, all on target to be done, again with one very, very significant action, and that is to do with amendments to the Planning and Development Act of 2024. So by the end of quarter two, hopefully we will be in a position to say that everything is on target and in excess of 60% of the 138 sub-actions have been completed.
Okay, so there does seem to be momentum here. Are there very practical examples that News Talk Breakfast listeners will be able to see, tangible examples of this leading to progress in actual infrastructure projects?
Yeah, there are, and I'll give you a number of them if I may, Ciara. Mm-hmm. So the Department of Public Expenditure has changed its guidelines on external evaluations of projects, and that will take approximately 26 weeks off of all projects going through the consenting and approval process. If you look, an example of that, which is very, very tangible, is the wastewater plant in Waterford, where that is being brought forward by 26 weeks. If you look at Ishgairn and the well, you know, travelled and spoken about North Dublin drainage scheme, as a result of changes to the consenting processes, Ishgairn announced recently that they're bringing forward the commissioning date of that plant from the end of 2032 to the end of 2031, shaving 1 year off it. And the benefit of that to the taxpayer, which this what this is all about, is a saving of 60 million, because every 1 month delay in that project was costing the taxpayer 5 million. And in addition to that, you have all of the environmental benefits and you have the economic benefits of providing services for tens of thousands of homes that are required in that part of the city. And then if you look at another action that was introduced, and that was the setting up of a joint utilities and transport clearinghouse. And a practical example there is, if the ESB is bringing in very heavy transformers into the country, these can be in excess of 500 tonne in weight and are regarded as abnormal loads. So you have to get permits to get them transported across the road system. And one example is a substation in County Laois, where the equipment came into the Foynes port, had to travel through four counties, before it got to the substation. you had to get individual permits from each of the local authorities. That's now been done by one single agency. And again, that has taken months off of the delivery of that project. So very clear and tangible deliverables.
But Sean, there is difficulties still, isn't there? There are challenges. I mean, the NTA, the National Transport Authority, warned yesterday that Ireland may not have the workers needed to deliver more than 24 billion in transport projects. I'm wondering now, is Ireland at risk of announcing major infrastructure projects that it simply cannot build on time? How serious is this skills shortage?
Well, let's separate out the two issues. Our role was to identify barriers to delivery. And that's what we were asked to do, and that's what we're doing. Within that, to be fair, capacity is one of the issues that we were asked to address, and we have been addressing it. There are significant issues there. But it's both on the capital side, and also on the people side where there are issues. Because whether we like it or not, we do not have the financial capability ourselves of investing 275 billion. So we have to attract foreign capital into the country. Equally, Metrolink would say they will have to bring in 8,000 workers to work on the Metrolink project. And that will have to be done. But the only way you can achieve both of those is by giving international interested parties, whether they're financiers or they're construction companies, you have to give them the certainty around timelines, around planning, around our legal frameworks. And that's what this is doing. And that in turn will help enable the capacity industry that TIA referred to.
And I appreciate this wasn't within the remit of your own report, but I just would be interested in your thoughts on this, because one of the other aspects of that report, it said that construction productivity in this country is still 20% below pre-crash levels. It said it's a third lower than all of the international benchmarks. I'm wondering, do you have any sense as to why the wider sector is struggling to modernise, seems to be struggling within Ireland to adopt techniques that could also speed up the delivery of these big infrastructure projects?
Well, Ciara, I would challenge that headline figure. And I think a lot of it relates to the fact that our housing sector has a lot of small rural house builders. And that impacts on the productivity when it comes to house building. But when you look at the large house building companies in this country, they're as good as anybody in the world. If you look at, we can build in Ireland. Look at our road transport system. You know, look at the port tunnel. Look at Lewis. Look at our secondary school and our third level building. We can build as quickly as anybody. And I suppose the poster child in my mind in what can be done was about a month ago, what is going to be the tallest building in Ireland in my own county of Cork and Cork City, the core of a 25-storey block of new apartments was put up in 10 days. The lift shafts and the core was constructed in 10 days. That's as good as anything you would find anywhere in the world. So sometimes, you know, headline figures are put out there, but it's when you drill down into the detail and get granular, that's when you understand where the issues are. So I accept the issue around how fragmented some of our house building sector is. But if you look at the large players, they're as good as anyone else in the world.
And I suppose, in fairness to some of those small builders, to go back to that whole idea of certainty in terms of timelines and projects, if they knew there was certainty going forward in terms of what is going to be available to them, they might be more willing to invest in improving on their skills and on the technology available to them.
That's exactly the point. And that's why when you give certainty to also international companies, you know, a lot of them have, you know, they've been born in Ireland previously. You know, when they had invested money in preparing tenders, which is a very costly process, and then projects were cancelled. So our reputation internationally has been tarnished. This is about building reputation. It's about giving people certainty. And, you know, as humans, you know, our instinct is we're quick to criticize, and rightly so most of the time. But, you know, we should also commend when things are done. And I have to say, you know, I have been very, very satisfied and indeed surprised by the commitment of government, the public service in the wider sense, both the civil servants who've been working on this with us, but also the relevant state agencies, the licensing authorities, and may I also say the opposition parties who have been very responsible in supporting the change that's required here. So I would be very hopeful, Ciara. You know, I'm very, very hopeful that all of this will be done, but I'm also very hopeful that you will see very tangible benefits and the country will see very tangible benefits.
Always the optimist. Sean O'Driscoll, Chair of the ESRI and a leading member of that Accelerating Infrastructure Task Force. Thank you for speaking to us.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.